Hello, this is Paula with the Vermilion County News on Thursday, January 11th, 2018. We'll start with a story titled Man Hit Killed by Semi Near Oakwood. Update: Vermilion County Coroner Jane McFadden identified the victim as Kevin Edwards. She said an autopsy was scheduled for Wednesday. Then this is in Oakwood. A Jacksonville man died Tuesday night after being hit by a tractor trailer while walking in a gasoline station lot up just off Interstate 74. Illinois State Police said the 47-year-old man was in the east parking lot at the Phillips 66 station south of I-74 when he was struck about 6:45 p.m. by the truck driven by a 45-year-old man from Martinsville, Ohio. The name of the Jacksonville man has not been released. According to police, the truck dragged the man onto Oakwood Road to the I-74 eastbound ramp. The driver pulled over on the ramp after thinking his vehicle was having mechanical problems. A witness told the driver his truck had struck a pedestrian in the parking lot. No charges have been filed at this time. Next story is titled Demo Costs Continue to Rise for City. This is written by Jennifer Bailey in Danville. Asbestos abatement required when completing demolitions continues to be a costly issue for the city. Danville Public Works Deputy Director Ray Garcia told the City Council's Public Works Committee Tuesday night a property in the 100 block of Iowa Street was expected to cost about $9,000 for asbestos abatement. The estimate was now about $22,000. Another building in the 400 block of Oak Street undergoing asbestos abatement saw the structure become unsafe with a wall leaning on a tree. It is now an emergency demolition, and the city will contract that work and the demolition of the residential structure next door. The city is contracting out the work due to both structures being multi-story. Estimated costs will be more than $25,000, Garcia said. It's no good news on demolitions, Garcia said. Garcia also updated the committee on weather events. He said with ice events, the city uses a lot more material. He said the city's already used in excess of 600 tons of salt this winter. In other business, Tuesday, committee members authorized funding and approved engineering services for the Voorhees Bridge replacement. The full city council will act on the resolutions next week. Danville Engineering and Urban Services Director David Schnell said the construction engineering services agreement for up to $248,500 on a time and material basis with Hutchison Engineering may not be needed if the city has the manpower to oversee the project. It will depend on Denmark Road and other projects. They also heard Schnell say there was a private industry spill by Viscafan in Lick Creek with a self-report to the Environmental Protection Agency. They also talked about heating and other issues with rental properties in the city. Mayor Scott Eisenhower encourages people to notify the city of specific addresses and issues. There are things we can do to go after a landlord, Eisenhower said. Building code issues are dealt with through the city's Public Works Department, building inspectors, and code enforcement. Tenants can fill out a tenant complaint form. The city's human relations administrator deals with other living condition issues. Ward 2 Alderman Rick Strebing said some people don't want to say or report anything because they have no better place to go. If the city determines a place is uninhabitable, the city works with the landlords and other local agencies to help with temporary housing, Eisenhower said, adding that finding long-term housing can be more difficult. Okay, the next story is titled VA Chief Leaves to Take Asheville Post, and this is written by Mary Wyckoff in Danville. After 2 years, Stephanie Young is leaving as director of the Veterans Affairs in Ileana Healthcare System. Her last day will be February 15th. Young has been appointed director of the Charles George VA Medical Center in Asheville, North Carolina. She takes over a staff of more than 1,700 employees, as well as an operating budget of more than $365 million, according to an article in the Asheville Citizen Times. The center provides health care services to about 48,000 military veterans in western North Carolina. Young came to Danville in December of 2015 as acting director, overseeing the day-to-day operations of primary and secondary health care services to veterans residing in central Illinois and west central Indiana. VA Illiana employs about 1,500 people and has an annual operational budget of more than $176 million. If it treats about 30,000 veterans inside its catchment area, which includes outpatient clinics in Peoria, Springfield, Mattoon, and Decatur. Todd Oliver, VA Illiana Public Affairs Officer, said the Veterans Integrated Service Network 12 Director in Chicago will name an acting director shortly, either someone already with Illiana or someone with another facility. After that, the normal process of accepting applications and conducting interviews will be conducted. Young said she has accepted the new position for a variety of reasons, including professional growth and an opportunity to be closer to family. Most people know that I have a family in Michigan, but I also have family in Virginia, and this brings me closer to them, she said. I will miss Danville and the VA Illiana healthcare system. The staff at VAIHCS are committed to the mission of the VA and provide excellent care to our veterans. My career has always been about improving services for as many veterans as possible, and I feel this position will allow me to help even more veterans. When Young joined Illiana, she said providing personalized, patient-driven health care for veterans was a commitment, and she has always encouraged employees to look for ways to improve veterans' health care. Looking back on her 2 years, Young said they have flown by, and she feels that so much has been accomplished at the VA. I'm extremely proud of the people and the community here. They're truly among the best, she said. Our team has focused on our mission and will continue to be the very best for our nation's heroes. The community has been extremely welcoming, and I appreciate everyone I have encountered. She added, I'm still struck by both VAIHCS and the community's dedication to our veterans and their families. It's truly awe-inspiring. The turnout that for events like Memorial Day, Wreaths Across America, or any number of events here that celebrate our veterans is testament to just how much this community cares. Thank you for your services is more than just a phrase here. It's a way of life. Young came to Illiana from the Alida E. Lutz VA Medical Center in Saginaw, Michigan, where she had served as the associate director since October of 2010. In that role, she had responsibility for oversight of business operations. Before accepting the position as associate director in Saginaw, Young reported to the Office of Information and Technology and was the Facility Chief Information Officer for the Saginaw VA. Young began her VA career in Saginaw in 1992 as a patient service assistant in medical administration service and held a variety of positions with increasing responsibility. She made many strides in every position she held, focusing on improving care for veterans. Young received an associate's degree in science from Delta Community College and a bachelor's degree in information technology from the University of Phoenix. She had resided in Michigan most of her life, with the exception of 2 years in Arizona. Veterans Integrated Service Network 6 Director Deanne Seekins said in a news release to the Asheville Citizens Times that the center is excited to welcome Young as its new director. She has been with the VA for more than 25 years and comes to us with extensive experience and a proven history of making sound decisions for staff and our veterans, Seekins said in a release. She will be a valuable asset for the faculty, our employees, and volunteers. For the facility, our employees and volunteers, and most importantly, for the veterans we are honored to serve. Okay, now we'll read through the obituaries. It seems like there's quite a few today, unfortunately. So, Charles James Mullins, 52, of Danville, passed away December 30th, 2017. At this point, no services have been scheduled. Marilyn Gebink, 66, of Danville and formerly of Percyville, Indiana, passed away at 4 p.m. EST time Tuesday, January 9th at St. Vincent Indianapolis Hospital. Funeral services 3 p.m. EST time Saturday, January 13th at Diverter Funeral Home in Cayuga, Indiana. Officiating Bob Fairchild and Reverend Jackson Dean. Burial at Hicks Cemetery in Perrysville, Indiana. Visitation from 1 p.m. Saturday, January 13th until time of the services. The family requests contributions to the Kirk Kentrip Memorial Scholarship Fund, 5551 North Falcon Drive, Cayuga, Indiana, 47928. George R. Powell, 51, of Westville, passed away at his home Tuesday, January 9th. A celebration of George's life will be at 11 a.m. Saturday, January 13th, at Sunset Urbis Funeral Chapel at 414 South State Street in Westville, with Kevin Cox officiating. Visitation will be from 4 to 7 p.m. Friday, January 12th, at the funeral home. He will be laid to rest in Sunset Memorial Park in Danville. Memorial donations may be given to the family to help with final expenses. Jean Francis Peck Blickenstaff, 92, formerly of Attica, passed away in Brownsburg Healthcare Center in Brownsburg, Indiana, at 6:50 p.m. on Friday, January 5th. A celebration of Jean's life will be at 1 p.m. Saturday, January 13th, in Trinity Church at East Fishers, 11721 Olio Road in Fishers, Indiana, with Pastor Matthew Hines officiating. Memorial contributions may be made in lieu of flowers to the Attica Community Foundation / Raven Park, Fountain County Historical Landmarks, or the charity of one's choice. Jesse Lee Davis, Sr., 73, passed this life on Thursday, January 4th, at Decatur Memorial Hospital. Homegoing celebration will commence at noon on Saturday, January 13th, at New Life Church of Faith, 1419 North Bowman Avenue. Visitation will be at 11 a.m. Saturday until the time of the service. Officiating Pastor Leo E. Davis. Interment will be at Spring Hill Cemetery. Leakes and Sons Funeral Home at 304 East William Street in Danville is in charge of the arrangements. William Dell Edwards, 80, of Hoopston, Illinois, passed away at 3:54 p.m. on Friday, January 5th at Carl Foundation Hospital in Urbana, Illinois. The funeral service will be at 11 a.m. Thursday, January 11th at Anderson Funeral Home at 427 East Main Street in Hoopston, with Pastor Jeff Alexander officiating. Burial will follow in Floral Hill Cemetery in Hoopston. Memorials may be made to the National Kidney Foundation, 30 East 33rd Street, New York, New York, 10016. Elizabeth Rose Crozier, 79, of Hoopston, passed away at 9:31 a.m. on Monday, January 8th, at her home. A visitation will be held from 4:30 to 7, Thursday, January 11th, at Anderson Funeral Home, 427 East Main Street in Hoopston. The funeral service will be held at 11 a.m. Friday, January 12th, at the funeral home, with Pastor David Meese officiating. Burial will follow in Sugar Creek Cemetery in Stockland. Memorials may be made to the National Kidney Foundation, 30 East 33rd Street, New York, New York, 10016. Richard Brian Kress, 89, of Urbana, Illinois, formerly of Hoopston, passed away at 5:40 a.m. Friday, December 22nd, at Carl Foundation Hospital in Urbana. Per his wishes, cremation rites have been accorded. A visitation will be from 11 to noon on Friday, January 12th, at Hoopston United Methodist Church, 403 East Main Street in Hoopston. A memorial service will begin at noon Friday at the church, with Pastor Kathy Najman officiating. Burial will be Monday, January 15th, at Riverside Public Cemetery in Riverside, Iowa. Memorials may be made to Hoopston United Methodist Church, 403 East Main Street, Hoopston, Illinois, 60942. Jean Reeves Nassados went to be with the Lord on December 30th, 2017, in Dunedin, Florida. Visitation will be from 4 to 7 p.m. Friday, January 12th, at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Danville. Funeral services will be at 10:30 a.m. Saturday, January 13th, at the funeral home, with Pastor Michael Heidel officiating. Burial will take place at Spring Hill Cemetery in Danville. Richard T. Dick Wodetsky, 86 of Sebring, Florida, passed away January 1st at Bay Pines Veterans Hospital in St. Petersburg, Florida. He's originally from Danville. A celebration of Dick's life will be held at a later date. Memorials may be made in his memory to the charity of the donor's choice. James Henry Streben, 90, passed away at 7:35 p.m. December 30th at Colonial Manor in Danville. Visitation will be from 1 to 2:30 Saturday, January 13th at Sunset Funeral Home, 3940 North Vermilion Street in Danville. A celebration of life will be at 2:30 p.m. at the funeral home. Ramey Gordon will officiate. Burial will be in Sunset Memorial Park with military rites accorded by American Legion, Post 210. Memorials may be made in Jim's name to the American Legion, Post 210, or the American Cancer Society. Mark Harvey Shields, originally from Danville, 56 of Strongville, Ohio now, passed away Friday, January 5th, peacefully at his home. Visitation will be from 4 to 8 p.m. EST time Thursday, January 11th at Bauer Funeral Home, 2089 Columbia Road, Valley City, Ohio. A funeral mass will be celebrated at 11 a.m. EST time Friday, January 12th at St. Martin of Tours Catholic Church, 1800 Station Road, Valley City, Ohio. Burial arrangements are incomplete. Mary Alta Joe Sweet, 102 of Lafayette, Indiana, formerly of Danville, passed away Monday, January 8th in Lafayette. Visitation for Joe will be from 4 to 8 p.m. CST time Thursday, January 11th at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center, 3940 North Vermilion Street in Danville. Services will be at 10 a.m. Friday, January 12th at East Park Church of Christ, 1224 East 4th Street in Danville, with Dennis Floyd officiating. Burial will follow in Stern Cemetery in Fithian, Illinois. Mary M. Rennick, 84 of Danville, passed away January 6th at Carl Foundation Hospital in Urbana. Visitation will be from 4:30 to 6:30 January 12th at Church of the Holy Trinity in Danville. Funeral Mass will be at 11 a.m. January 13th. All friends and family are invited to attend. In lieu of flowers, please send donations to the Church of Holy Trinity, Danville. Annotate Marie Rennick Memorial on memo line of the check. Esther Ruth Timko, 91 of Girard, Illinois, formerly of Georgetown, passed away on January 6th at her home. Cremation rites will be accorded by Cremation Services of Central Illinois, 8855 State Road 4, Chatham. Her family will greet friends and share memories on Saturday, January 13th at St. Mary's Catholic Church at 231 North State Street in Westville at 10 a.m. until the time of the service at 11. Burial will follow at St. Peter and Paul Cemetery in Westville. A celebration of life gathering will be celebrated at a later date. For those who wish, memorial contributions may be made to St. Mary's Catholic Church. LaDonna Donnie Aldous, 44 of Danville, died at 11:20 a.m. Tuesday, January 2nd at Presence United Samaritans Medical Center in Danville. Cremation rites have been accorded and a service will be held at a later date. Anderson Funeral Home is in charge of the arrangements. Ray Hewitt, 93 of Catlin, died at 1:35 a.m. Wednesday, January 10th at Colonial Manor Nursing Home in Danville. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at Robeson Chapel, 103 Douglas Street in Catlin. Betty Kirkpatrick, 99 of Danville, died at 9:34 a.m. Wednesday, January 10th at North Logan Healthcare Center in Danville. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at Robeson Chapel in Catlin. Charles Manis, 74, of Ridge Farm, died at 10:38 a.m. Wednesday, January 10th at Carl Foundation Hospital in Urbana. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at Robeson Chapel in Catlin. Okay, just a quick blurb from Georgetown. Alderman approved the resignation of Lucas Seilheimer, who has moved out of Ward 1 and is no longer eligible to serve. Okay, the next story is titled Street Sweep, Volunteers, Blankets, Sought for the Homeless. And this is written by Carol Roem in Danville. And there's a picture of Sharon Saka, Director of Social Services for the Danville Salvation Army, folding a blanket donation she received at the annual homeless street sweep that is scheduled for January 25th. Teams of volunteers will search abandoned houses and buildings at the end of the month as part of the annual street sweep to locate and count unsheltered homeless individuals and families. The local street sweep, which is set for January 25th, has been conducted in late January almost every year for at least 10 years. Danville volunteers also conducted a street sweep in the summer, once in July of 2012. We decided to do a street sweep every year in Danville about 5 years ago, Sharon Saka, Director of Social Services for the Danville Salvation Army, said. Volunteers will be equipped with blankets supplied by the Salvation Army, personal hygiene kits, and from East Central Illinois Community Action, as well as information about resources and services available for the homeless in Danville. This year, however, Saka said she is in dire need of blankets for the event. I found out I didn't have a big supply of blankets, she said. We are definitely in need of blankets. Hats and gloves would also be nice. Even if the blankets aren't given away in the street sweep, I have people asking for blankets and coats because they're cold and their houses don't have good insulation or has drafty windows, she said. Saka has participated in most of the past local street sweeps. Sometimes only a few people are located during the sweep, which is frustrating to volunteers who are fully aware of the community's homeless issue. That doesn't mean there's not homelessness, Saka said. They hide. They don't want to be found. Some suffer from mental health issues. Trisha Keith, Vermilion County Truant Officer and Homeless Coordinator, said many times volunteers will find evidence that someone has been living in an abandoned structure or outdoor spot. We don't often find people, we just find evidence, said Keith, who has participated in the last 4 or 5 street sweeps. When we find evidence, we'll leave a blanket and personal hygiene items for them. We want to get people into shelters, but they're resourceful, she added. We're truly there to offer support and assistance. That part is frustrating because we just want to help. The local street sweep is part of an annual nationwide point in time survey sponsored by the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development. HUD requires the unsheltered homeless population be measured through a point in time count, so street sweeps are usually conducted in late January across the nation. If there is evidence of homelessness, we add it in the comment area on the report to HUD, Saka said. The local survey also includes counting the sheltered homeless who are living in the Danville Rescue Mission for Men, Cross Point at the Y Shelter for Women and Children, and in temporary shelter through the Danville Salvation Army. The goal of the count is to provide the most accurate numbers of the homeless, sheltered and unsheltered in the area and on one single night. In addition to Salvation Army and Cross Point at the Y, the other local agencies and churches that will participate in this year's street sweep include the Veterans Affairs Ileana Healthcare System, the Housing Authority of the City of Danville, the City of Danville, East Central Illinois Community Action Agency, Vermilion County Regional Office of Education, United Way of Danville Area, and Carter Metropolitan CME Church. Volunteers will assemble at 5:30 p.m. on Thursday, January 25th, in the parlor of Cross Point at the Y at 201 North Hazel Street. Participants are advised to wear warm clothing and proper shoes, bring a flashlight, and have his or her cell phone charged. Before venturing out, the volunteers will be briefed by the Danville Police Department on the usual places of the community's homeless, places where homeless persons have been discovered by the police most recently, and places the homeless have been known to shelter in the past. The teams of volunteers will check abandoned buildings, alleyways, underbridge embankments, and other known outdoor shelters in Danville to count the number of people sleeping in places not meant for human habitation. The volunteers will follow a city-provided aerial map divided into 11 grids that show vacant buildings with their addresses superimposed on it. The map extends from the Vermilion River north to Voorhees Street and from the river on the west, with Logan Avenue to Danville Area Community College on the east. The street sweep usually draws between 30 to 50 volunteers, Saka said. Groups of three or more volunteers will be assigned a grid from the map and will proceed to comb their area. Safety in numbers is a top priority during the street sweep. Everyone is welcome, but nobody is allowed to go by themselves, Keith said. We go out in groups of three or more. The more volunteers we get, the better off we are, Saka said. We caution them not to go out by themselves. All of the local agencies involved in the street sweep are members of the HUD-funded Central Illinois Continuum of Care. The 11-county region covered by the continuum involves human service agencies that receive homeless funds from McLean County to Vermilion County and as far as north as Kankakee. To help the Salvation Army at 855 East Fairchild Street, they need hats and gloves, but especially blankets. The blankets and other warm items may be dropped off between 9 a.m. and noon and 1 to 4, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday. The Danville Corps is closed on Wednesdays. Volunteers who would like to help with this year's street sweep should assemble at 5:30 p.m. on Thursday, January 25th, in the parlor of Cross Point at the Y at 201 North Hazel Street. For more information about volunteering, contact Sharon Saka at the Salvation Army at 442-5911 or Linda McLaughlin at Cross Point at the Y at 446-1217, extension 241. Okay, next story is titled Threat Came from Outside U.S., and this is written by Noelle McGee in Oakwood. Oakwood schools were back in session Wednesday, but some students were noticeably missing. As a precaution, a number of parents said they kept their children out of school the day after officials canceled it due to what at the time was an unknown but seemingly credible threat. Late Wednesday, amid pleas from parents to share more details, Superintendent Gary Lewis announced that the emailed threat referred to a Oakwood teacher by name, but was sent by a person in another country. On Monday evening, school officials received an email in which a death threat was made naming an Oakwood teacher, Lewis said in a letter to parents. Threats were also made promising harm to the general school population. We have determined the threat was not made by anyone locally. Rather, information was obtained from a local source, and the threat was made by a person in a foreign country. The person who made the threat has been identified. We have every reason to believe that that person will be held accountable. Lewis went to thank the parents, students, faculty, and community members for their cooperation and patience over the last 2 days, calling a week that started in the cancellation of classes due to icy roads very disruptive to the school community. Kids much safer at home. Earlier in the day, Lewis said that after consulting with law enforcement and careful consideration of all the facts, officials decided late Tuesday afternoon to resume school on Wednesday. As a precaution, there will be a police presence at each building for the next few days. Lewis has acknowledged that attendance throughout the district, which has an enrollment of a little more of 1,000, was a little bit low on today. He didn't have exact numbers, although one parent reported nearly half of her son's class of 27 was absent. McDaniel said he believes school officials have our students and staff's best interest in mind and understand that details must be kept under wraps during the investigation. However, with the way things have been happening over the years in this country, with school shootings and things, it does make sense, does make one put more thought into a situation such as this when given an information. I pray it is resolved quickly. Oakwood is an amazing community. So hopefully that's taken care of. So anyway, I guess that'll be it for today, Thursday, January 11th, 2018. Looks like it's going to be a nice day in the 50s, so enjoy it while you can, because later on it's going to get cold again. So anyway, hope you all have a good week, and hopefully I'll see you again next week. Take care. Bye. Take care. Bye.